Well, by now, their backs, their arms, and their hands ached, but they weren't about to let go of those oars. The wind and the waves were just too strong, and they had been battling to keep their little Galilean fishing boat from capsizing all night long, and they were beyond exhausted. The only thing keeping them going right now was pure adrenaline, the only kind that comes when your life is on the line. And it's when a wave crashed against their boat once again that one of them saw something off in the distance. It looked like a figure on the water. The other saw it too. What could it be? Is it a ghost? They wondered. Then over the roar of the wind and the waves, a familiar voice. Take courage. Do not be afraid. I am with you. Peter reacts first. He always reacts first. And he runs to the end of the boat and he leans over and he says, Jesus, if it's you, command me to come onto the water with you. And before any of the disciples could talk sense into Peter's request, the voice said, come. So Peter scrambles over the edge of the boat. And as his foot touches water, it touches solid. And he takes a step. And he takes another step. Peter can hardly believe the moment. But the moment's fleeting. As a wave crashes against Peter, he's reminded of the immensity of the storm and how foolish of a decision it was for him to do this. And what once felt like solid under his feet starts to feel like liquid, and he starts to sink. Lord, save me, he cries out. And just before Peter goes under, a strong hand grabs his and pulls him up. And in a loving voice, Jesus looks at Peter and says, you have such little faith. Why did you doubt? And Peter realizes it's true. But he doesn't feel condemned by what Jesus said. And Jesus leads Peter back up into the boat. And in that moment, the wind stops. The waves calm. And the disciples are reminded once again that Jesus is no ordinary rabbi. Welcome to week two of Bold. This week we're talking about what does it look like to have bold trust. And we're talking about the story that I just told you from Matthew chapter 14. And I want to say welcome to you if you're here. If you were not here last week, we kicked off this Bold series in a great way. Chris did a great job leading us. If you weren't here last week, I encourage you to do two things. One, go, if you haven't seen the message, go to boldcrossroads.com and you can find the messages there, because last week we unpacked the vision of what we believe God is calling this church to in the next 2 years. And this whole series is about kind of rallying around that vision and asking the question, what is it that God wants me to do in my life? What is it that God wants us to do in our home's life to take a bold step in helping accomplish this vision? So if you weren't here last week, you want to check that that message out. And then the second thing is this. If you didn't get a journal, if you weren't here last week and didn't get a journal on your way in, if you could just raise your hand and somebody will get you a journal. So raise your hand, whether you're here at South Kokomo or at North Kokomo, just raise your hand up. And somebody will make sure that you get a journal. That's going to be your guide for the rest of this series. It lays out kind of what we're trying to accomplish with this vision. It has daily devotions in there. Your small group lessons are in there. And then there's space for weekend notes as well. So anyway, I'm excited that you're here. Pastor Chris is away this weekend. He's at dad camp with his son. So we're really excited about that opportunity that he has to spend time with his son. And the truth is when you're a pastor's kid, you have to share your dad with everybody. And so we're excited that this is a weekend that he gets his dad all to himself. And they get to enjoy the fun things that happen with dad camp, such a great ministry. So be praying for them and praying for a great weekend as well. But Matthew chapter 14 was the story where the story I told you from, and it's a pretty famous section of scripture. Odds are you probably knew at least some of that, maybe that Jesus walked on water, or maybe you knew about Peter, or whatever the case is. And there's so many great sermons preached about this passage of scripture, and so many things that could be said. I want to focus on two things that stuck out to me. The last couple of weeks, I've been reading and rereading and just thinking about this passage, and two things stuck out to me. The first one was a storm. Now, I have to admit, in my flannel graph memory, I imagined this scene, Jesus walking on water, as being this calm, crystal clear water. I didn't imagine the storm in my memory there, and until I was reading through, and I realized, man, this was a storm, right? And storms weren't all that uncommon on the Sea of Galilee. In fact, they're still pretty common occurrence today, and that has to do with the geography of the area. The sea is surrounded by mountains, and so you get cool, dry air coming, mixing with the warm, moist air over the sea. It's just a recipe for these pop-up storms. So it's a common occurrence in the day. But we're given this hint in Scripture that says that the disciples were in trouble as they faced the wind and the waves. And you got to realize that some of the disciples on that boat were fishermen, and they have grown up fishing these waters. They'd been on a boat lots of times on these waters, and so they knew what to expect. They knew how to handle the boat, but we're told that they were in trouble. So we get the hint that it was a pretty strong storm and something that they were facing. And then with that in mind is the second thing that stuck out to me as I was reading this passage over and over, and that was Peter's request to walk on water, to come out to Jesus. And again, I have to confess, in my Sunday school memory, I thought Jesus asked Peter to come out to the water, like some kind of like test of his faith or something. But you read it, and it's actually Peter that made that request. It was Peter's idea. Peter said, "Jesus, if it's you, then command me to come out into the water." Jesus said yes, gave him permission, but it was Peter's idea. And that got me wondering, man, why? Why would Peter ask to go out onto the water in the middle of a storm? And I just thought about that for a couple of days. Just, man, why would Peter ask that? Is it because he wanted to prove his worth to Jesus, and so he could do this amazing thing? Is it because he wanted to just be where his rabbi was and do what his rabbi did, and so Jesus is on the water, and Peter's like, "I want to do that." Maybe it was out of fear. Like, Peter was afraid the boat was going to sink, and so he's going to hedge his bets, and it's safer with Jesus than in the boat, maybe. Maybe it was just purely being impulsive, right? Peter has a track record of just doing impulsive, stupid things without thinking about it. He just kind of acts first, you know? I don't know. I thought and thought and read and researched, and the truth is nobody truly knows what was Peter's motivation for making that request. But then I got thinking about it, and maybe more interesting than what Peter did ask was what Peter didn't ask, right? Because think about it. I imagine myself in Peter's position, and imagine, like, you had been fighting this storm. You had been fighting and fighting and straining all night long against this storm to keep your boat from capsizing, and then Jesus comes up. If I were in Peter's shoes, the very first question I would have said, "Jesus, if it's you, command the storm to stop," right? The storm's the problem, isn't it? The storm is the thing that's given him all this trouble. And Jesus has a track record of stopping storms, right? We read in Matthew chapter 8, just a little bit before this, that they were in a similar situation, and Jesus was asleep in the front of the boat, and the storm picked up, and then the disciples were scared, and Jesus woke up, said two words, and the storm stopped. So it makes sense. He has a track record of doing this. They know that he can stop the storm immediately. Why didn't Peter ask for the storm to stop? I have to commend him for doing that. I don't know why, but he didn't. I wouldn't have done that. So often, I want everything perfectly lined up, and I want the conditions just right before I take any kind of a step towards Jesus. But Peter didn't. He just jumped right in. Now, before we like elevate Peter and applaud him too much, the reality is he sank, didn't he? Took a couple steps, and he saw the immensity of the storm, and he started to sink. And that's not all that surprising. The irony of the story is that a guy whose name literally means rock wants to get out of the boat in a storm, right? Peter is a Greek name that means rock. And I can just imagine Matthew, as he's writing down the account of this gospel, just chuckling to himself. He's like, "Rock wants to get out in the water. What an idiot, you know, all right?" Yeah, what do you think, Peter? What do you think was going to happen? Your name means rock. Of course, you're going to sink. And in a weird way, that gives me some hope. Right? It gives me some hope. Jesus grabbed him, pulled him up, and looked at him and said, Peter, you have such little faith. Why did you doubt? And in a weird way, that gives me incredible hope, because Peter later goes on, and what we read just last week, the passage that Chris preached on, that Peter and John are in the synagogue, and they're preaching in this bold way, and God's working through them, through the power of the Holy Spirit in them, and they're doing these amazing miracles, and Peter is leading the church. This guy who does so many boneheaded things and has little faith and sinks and can't even, you know, like, that gives me hope, because the truth is, I lack trust. And I imagine there are times that you lack trust too. And this is what happens. I believe the moments that we lack trust are moments when we look at our temporary circumstances and they seem greater than our eternal Savior. Temporary circumstances, and we view those as greater than our eternal Savior. That was Peter's situation, right? He's in this storm. It was a big storm. It was a strong storm, but it was a temporary storm. He knew it wouldn't last forever, but yet he saw that, and he's like, oh, that overwhelmed him, and he lost sight. He viewed that as greater than his eternal Savior, and the same is true for me. I imagine for you too, when there are times that you begin to doubt, when you lack trust, when you begin to worry, the anxiety fills you, and you don't know what to do, you see the circumstances around you that are temporary, and the truth is, no matter what you're facing, it's temporary. Whether it's something that's going to be wrapped up in a couple of days, or maybe it's something you are fighting for 45 years, that's temporary in light of eternity and your eternal Savior. So any storm that we may be facing in our life, anything that we see around us that wants to captivate our attention, the truth is that is temporary compared to the eternity that we have promised with Jesus. And I wonder if some of us, I think when it comes to trust, to lacking trust, it plays out in a couple of different ways. Some of you are probably like me, and you want the conditions to be lined up perfect, right? I mean, if I was in that boat, I'd say, Jesus, can you calm the storm? Can you give me a life jacket? And could you build a floating dock out to you? Then I'll take that step, right? And so some of us fail to take a first step at all because with the temporary circumstances around us, we're like, no, the timing's not right, the market's not right, my schedule's not right, it's not going to line up, and we wait for everything to be just perfect before we take that step. It's a lack of trust. Others of us are maybe more like Peter, and you just jump right in, right? You're like, all right, let's go, and you get in, and then you get out in the middle, and you're like, what have I done? I'm sinking. Lord, help me, right? And so all of us struggle with that lack of trust. It maybe just plays out in different ways depending on our personalities and how we interact with the world around us. But the truth is, when we see our temporary circumstances as greater than our eternal Savior, it causes us to lose trust. And could it be that many of us live a mediocre faith? Not because we don't want to do big things for God, not because we don't want to be used by God in big ways, but because we let the external conditions around us dictate the level of trust that we have in God. So when we're talking about what does it mean to have bold trust, to trust Jesus boldly, there are a few things that I want us to be clear on. The first one is this: God does not promise a storm-free life. God does not promise that you will not face these challenges in your life. It's a misconception for many. You think like, man, once I start following Jesus, then everything's going to be perfect, right? It's just going to be roses and everything will fall into place and I'll just walk through life happy, you know, and the sun's always going to shine and there'll be music playing. No, in fact, it's actually the opposite. Jesus promises that we're going to have hardship if we choose to follow him. Right? That's not a great sales pitch to become one of his followers, but it's true. Because if the culture is headed one way, and then Jesus calls us to head the other way to follow him, we're always going to be against the grain. We're always going to face these challenges. We're always going to face these hardships, right? And then we just live in a broken world where there's disease and disasters and death, right? There's always going to be a storm. Jesus never promised a storm-free life. And that's what I love about this account with Peter. He steps out in the middle of the storm. Jesus didn't calm the storm before he got out. He stepped out in it. But what this passage shows, and the truth, is even better than having a storm-free life. What God does promise, he promises his presence in the storm. In the middle of the storm, you can rest assured that Jesus is with you. God is with you in the midst of that. I think this passage illustrates that in a beautiful way. And one of the best words of this entire passage is when Jesus is walking to the disciples who are struggling. They're in the middle of the storm. They're facing the hardship. They're fearful. Jesus is walking to him and he shouts out and he says, "Take courage. Do not be afraid. I am with you." Did you know that almost every single time you read scripture and there's a command to not fear, it's always followed by a promise that God is with us. Almost every time. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. God promises his presence in the storms. And so, because of that, then bold trust is possible, not because of anything you do. Bold trust is possible because Jesus is trustworthy. And so as we talk about this bold series, and we're talking about stepping out and doing these bold things, sometimes you can get the wrong message and you can think like, oh, well, I got to, you know, like muster all my courage and try to make something happen. No, it's what God does through you, because God is with you. He is present in your life. And so bold trust, you can have bold trust because Jesus is trustworthy. So if we lose our trust when we see our temporary circumstances greater than our eternal Savior, then it would make sense to build trust, we just flip that equation, right? I want to build trust, so I need to see my eternal Savior as greater than the temporary circumstances. Well, that's not exactly all the way true. I mean, you have to think that, you have to understand that. But trust, this thing we call faith, it's lived out in action, right? And so you can say you trust something, but do you really trust it until you take that step out of the boat? Several years ago, my wife and I went to one of those climbing gyms. You know, they got like the handholds that go like 30 feet up in the air, and you strap into this harness, and it's really uncomfortable. And they got a rope. It goes all the way to the top of the wall, and it loops over a pulley and comes back down, and you climb with a partner. And so your partner has the rope, and their job is as you climb up, they pull it tight, and they hold it. And then if you slip or if you fall, they're holding that rope, so you don't go crashing down to the ground, right? So my wife and I go climbing, and it's my turn to climb. And so she's back there, she's got the rope, and I get ready to climb, and I'm like, you sure you got me? You know, like, are you sure? Are you sure you got it? You know, she's like, well, you don't trust me, right? Like, if you want marriage counseling, go to one of these climbing gyms, right? Like, man. But I could say I trust her, but do I really trust her? Until I climb up and put my life into her hands, right? This thing about faith, it's about trust, and it's about taking step towards Jesus. And everything's not laid out. The conditions aren't perfect. That's why it's called faith and not certainty. And so you show your trust in living it out. This is a great quote I came across. Said this, to know that Jesus is trustworthy, to know that Jesus is trustworthy is to risk obeying him. To know that Jesus is trustworthy is to risk obeying him. And then you build that trust. And what I wonder is if for Peter, if, you know, last week we read about him, you know, being bold in front of the Sanhedrin. And I wonder if that moment of being bold was built upon moment after moment after moment of learning that Jesus is trustworthy. Jesus is there for me. Jesus is with me in the storms. And so he looks back on his life. And I wonder if he thinks about this moment in the storm and he realizes, oh, no, Jesus is with me. He was with me then. And so he's going to be with me in this storm here and now. Now, Jesus is trustworthy. And because of that, then I can risk obeying him. So let me shift gears a little bit and talk to us as a church where we are with this bold initiative and the season that we find ourselves in. And So we talked last week of the vision. We believe God is calling us in the next 2 years, the things that he wants us to accomplish. And in order for that to happen, it's going to mean that each of us, you and you and you and you and me and my home and your homes, say, okay, God, what do you want us to do? How do you want us to be involved? And so we gave you one of these commitment cards last week in your journals, and you've maybe seen them around, and maybe it's intimidating to some of you because there's some dollar signs on it and some figures on the back. Listen, we don't want this to be an intimidating thing. We don't want this to be like a mandate or anything. We want this to be a tool for you to have a prayerful discussion with God to say, okay, God, what is it for me? What is it for our home? What is it that you want us to do? And so use this as a tool for a prayerful discussion. And what I love about this passage of scripture with Peter is maybe Peter was impulsive and made that request, but he didn't step out onto the water until Jesus commanded him. And so as we're talking about bold, I don't want you to mindlessly just follow along and say, yeah, sure, here's a XYZ I'm going to give and be a part of this. I don't want that. We don't want that. This is what we want you to do. We want you to pray. And we want you to ask God and use this as a guide and wrestle and say, okay, God, what is it that you want me to do? And it's going to look different for every one of us in this room. It's a discussion between you and God. God, what do you want me to do? Now, what I am asking is that you enter that conversation, you enter that prayerful conversation with an open heart and a willingness to risk obedience. Because I believe God's going to lay something on your heart. And you're going to say, oh. And if you're not careful, if you don't enter that with a willingness to obey, then you're going to get a case of the yeah buts. Right? Like God will lay something on your heart and you're like, okay, yeah, but what if the economy turned? What if we hit a recession, right? Well, yeah, God, but what does that mean for this vacation we are planning next year? Well, yeah, God, but what about my retirement plans? Well, yeah, God, but that means to do that, I have to sell the camper that we only use once a year when the weather's right. Right? And so if you're not careful, you can let the external circumstances begin to dictate what level of trust you're going to have. And so as you enter this prayerful conversation, what does it look like for each of us? My challenge is for us to enter it with a willingness to trust, to risk obedience. Say, okay, God, I prayed, I sought you, you laid this on my heart. I'm not sure if we can make it happen or not, but I'm gonna trust. I'm gonna trust that it'll happen. Because the way to know Jesus is to risk obeying him. So don't let your temporary circumstances keep you from obeying what your eternal Savior lays on your heart to do. So we have a story here, a testimony video from someone here at Crossroads that's wrestling through this very thing. What does it look like to trust Jesus in the midst of unknown circumstances? They're going to share that story, and then I'm going to come back up and wrap up with what I believe is the kind of the main point of this whole story. So I'm gonna wrap up here at our South Kokomo location and online, and then Kevin Sprinkle will be up at our North Kokomo location to wrap up and kind of give those closing remarks. So let's check out this story.
Hello, my name is Mark Criswell. This is my wife, Melody. I have three daughters. Melody and I have been coming to Crossroads here for 2.5 years. We're invited by my youngest daughter for Father's Day in June. We have plugged into a small group in the fall of 2017, Transformed. And as we got into more small groups and got deeper into it, it became more of a small church feel, and with the power of a large organization to do things right and reach out and to serve people. I say our spiritual defining moment was when Melody got baptized, November of 18. Yes, I mean, it was kind of unplanned. She had been thinking about it.
It's something that I had been wanting to do, but I'm the more backwards part of this couple. And so reaching out is very hard for me. Getting baptized was something that was way overdue. I didn't make a conscious effort to leave the church, but I did leave the church. I had, you know, my own issues, and then to find Mark and be able to reconnect. And try not to cry. Here at Crossroads, the Boundless Special Needs Ministry for Adults has been so beneficial for Mark's daughter. Gives her a place to connect. You know, I mean, like, she gets to feel like she belongs, because that's a lot of, you know, special needs. They feel like they don't belong. They don't have that connection.
When I moved here from Monticello, I didn't know the drug culture was as bad as it was. Working with my contractor, he kind of reached out to people that were trying to reach up. So being on the North Church, the Celebrate Recovery, knowing some people in there, knowing people that, you know, struggled and that were there to help, is amazing.
But I think the Bold Initiative for us, you know, we've talked about it, how to do this, be bold more financially with more tithing. It can be complicated for a lot of people. I have an hourly 9-to-5 job, and so it's easy to say how much we tithe off of mine, but Mark's income is more based upon a more fluctuating housing market. So how do you know, we give when, you know, we sell a house, but it just depends on the market. So we've been struggling with that, and we're still praying to figure out how to overcome that. And with God's guidance, we're hoping we'll overcome that.
It is difficult. Because we don't know the future. We have to have faith that you know, God will provide for us. And you don't know what the crops are going to be this year. You don't know what the housing market's going to be. You don't know if you roll up to your factory job, if the gate's going to be locked. You know, we have to have faith. We're 100% engaged in Bold because when the leadership of the church prayed and decided that this was the way God was leading, we bought in. We are members. We joined the church, and, you know, we're those kind of people that, you know, if we're in, we're in. If we're out, we're out.
But also, I mean, to be 100% engaged in church, it's not like, you know, only 50% of Jesus was crucified on the cross. I mean, he was 100% in. I mean, I think he is looking for that as well from us.
He gave all.
Appreciate the Criswells sharing their story. Part of the struggle, I think, for many of us when it comes to trust is we view it in terms of success or failure, right? And the truth of the matter is, Peter sank, right? You can say, he failed. But you know what? And I'm reading in between the lines here through Scripture. Peter sank, but he got back into the boat somehow. And he either got back by Jesus dragging him through the water, or maybe he got back by walking on the water hand in hand with Jesus. See, faith is not a matter of success or failure, and one's not better than the other. No, faith is the process of learning more and more and more about this eternal Savior that loves you. And so it doesn't matter if you succeed or you fail. Both are perfect opportunities to learn about this trustworthy Savior that we have. And that's what makes the storms of life sometimes the perfect situations to learn about trust and to learn that Jesus is with you and that Jesus is trustworthy. And I think the biggest message of this entire passage of Scripture, a lot of times we like to focus on Peter, but I think the biggest message is about Jesus, that Jesus is trustworthy. Think about it. It was Jesus that came to the disciples as they were struggling, walking on water. It was Jesus that told them, "Don't be afraid, I'm with you." It was Jesus that enabled Peter to get out on the boat and do what he did. It was Jesus who reached down and grabbed his hand and pulled him up. And it was Jesus who calmed the wind and the waves. Jesus is trustworthy. And that's why you can think about doing anything out of your comfort zone. That's why you can risk obeying him, because he is trustworthy and he will be with you. He is with you in the storms. He will see you through those storms. He will give you the very energy and the strength to overcome those things. It's about Jesus. He is trustworthy.